You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. It is Wednesday, September 1st, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Today's episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me Friday, technology permitting, to get in on the action. I'm going to lead you into my conversation, second part with Matt Braun. A lot about Byron Buxton, a lot about the White Sox, the division moving forward in 2022 for the Twins. You're not going to want to miss this one. Thanks for listening. And that changes it for me. Does that change it for you thinking about the Twins? Because I think of, you got to think about the division. You got to think about the Sox. I think the playoffs will be expanded, but how far away are they next year when it seemed like they were a step ahead this year and that has changed so drastically in 5 months?
Well, that's exactly it. Although you do have to consider a lot. There's a lot of moving parts here, especially in the AL Central, which is in a real weird spot. So yeah, I totally agree with you. I think next year the White Sox are going to be no easier than they are this year. Better, maybe. We'll see. At the very least, I think they're going to tread water, which even treading water for them is what, like a 95, 96 win pace, whatever they're on. So that's going to be tough in of itself. It even looks like the Tigers are kind of on something of a come up. You know, the Royals got a lot of young pitching coming up. Cleveland is just Cleveland. We can ignore them. But, you know, you have a lot of these guys who are now also kind of aiming at 2022 possibly being that their year. So that helps my argument even more, I think, where you say, okay, well, you know, why would let's not half-ass a go-ahead in a year that's going to be pretty challenging, and instead let's fully go for it in a year that's probably going to be a bit easier, at least in stuff that you can predict. Because, you know, maybe the Royals also become a 95-win team. That'd be kind of unfortunate. That'd make things tougher. But that's not something you can plan on. That's not something you can anticipate. We can anticipate the White Sox being good next year. So let's say they're going to kick our ass even if we go out and spend, you know, $60 million on pitching.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, a truth. I don't think there's enough starting pitching out there that'll give the Twins the boost they need. I just don't see that happening. So that helps that argument even more. That's why I'm fully for. I'm like, let's just figure things out. We need to figure things out. And that's probably going to include getting rid of, I don't want to say getting rid of, but it's going to include losing guys who were supposed to be a part of this core, quote unquote, or whatever that's about.
Well, let's talk about him. Let's talk about Byron Buxton. What are you right now on August 31st as we move into September 1st, the last month of the season? I don't know how much his last month impacts your thinking, but what are you considering right now? What do you think's best for the Twins and for Buxton, not for Buxton, but for the Twins this offseason and where they are? What do you think? You know, where do you think they're at?
Well, if you thought I was just saying was crazy, you better strap in, baby. I know I came on here and I talked about it, and I know you were apprehensive, and I know because I hop on Twitter every day that everyone and their mother disagrees with me, but I fully am on board with trading Byron Buxton. I think let me get my thoughts all in order so I can properly say what's happening. I understand the argument that I've seen from a lot of people that from a pure talent standpoint, there's no better player that the Twins can possibly ever get.
I was going to say, I think he's the most talented they've ever had. I mean,
talented. I think it's pretty indisputable since you'd have to be going back to some Hall of Fame players to get a player from pure talent, raw talent on the playing field. What he is able to do, the Twins have not had a guy like this. He's probably pure talent wise better than Puckett, even though I'm going to have a bunch of 50-year-olds who, you know, hate me for that. It's true. I think it's true. It's just, again, you have to keep coming back to this. The problem is his play style, the same play style that gives him this ability to play like this is what's going to always hold him back from ever staying healthy. It's the same. It's why he keeps getting injured. Part of it is bad luck. Yes. 2 years in a row, he's been hit by a pitch that's knocked him out. And that's, you know, sort of fluky in of itself. You know, it is what it is. But a lot of the times it's because he ran into a wall. It's because he collided. It's because he was running. He got injured earlier in the year because he pulled something while running. Well, Byron Buxton's going to be doing a lot of running. Yeah. And if by now he already hasn't gained the physical tools necessary to alleviate that, he's never going to stay healthy. Why would I ever assume that now suddenly he's going to be healthy? There's no player in MLB history who has ever done that. He makes Eric Davis look like Cal Ripken Jr., right? I've heard a lot of people bring up Paul Molitor. Paul Molitor played two full seasons in his first like 4 years. That's more than Buxton's already played, and we're looking at his eighth year soon. All right. And so I say, from you can't continue to be hamstrung by this player you keep putting your faith in, because you can't put your faith in one player in MLB, in baseball. You can't do it. There is no team that has ever won the World Series on the back of one player. All right. Yeah. It has to be in a team effort. You cannot live and die by one player.
I hear you. I definitely see what you're saying. I also think, you know, the argument at the time too, as there were contract discussions and everything, is, hey, the guaranteed money. And it is such a question of if. It's a question of if, right? It's if he can do it. But it's just so hard for me to look at what he's done. Just on a game-by-game basis, he's 158 games. His last 158 games, which, like you said, dates back to 2019. That was centuries ago. 158 games, 33 homers, 45 doubles. I mean, 8 wins above replacement. It's unbelievable what he's able to do. And when we say that, like, they haven't had a talent like this maybe ever. So for me, it's really hard to say, if you're only guaranteeing, and this, it would be a progressive deal, I'm sure. I don't know what the details look like, but let's say in his most expensive year, you're guaranteeing $18 million. Are you saying that hamstrings them way too much in the case that he misses a lot of those games that year? Because to me, I think you get so much upside on a deal like that, that it's almost worth it. Like, it's worth it to me. Also, on a team, I think that's going to have a lot of guys who are making the league minimum. You think about Martin, you think about Lewis, potentially, you think about Miranda, the position players, Larnick, Kirilloff. I think those guys are going to be making the league minimum. Like, they're starting, like, roster is going to be making the league minimum. I think it gives you some of that flexibility to take a chance. You're saying they just shouldn't take the chance.
I'm saying in that case, they should not take the chance, with the contingency there that they're then taking the chance on someone else. That's why I'm saying you trade Buxton, and that's why you sign a guy like Story. Is you're saying, we're not just going to lose a star player for the sake of losing a star player. We're going to lose a star player because we believe that there are better, more reliable star players out there who can fill that gap. And is Story a better player than Buxton, pure talent-wise? No, he's not. Mm-hmm. But Story's been on the field. He's been healthy, indisputable for... What 7 years now, ever since he debuted? I wanna throw a question by you. I wanna just off the top of your head, who has more career WAR, F4 I'm talking about, Byron Buxton or Max Kepler?
I'll say, well, I'm gonna assume it's a trick question. I'm gonna say Kepler.
It's Kepler by a little bit.
Yeah.
And I say this to point out, because everyone keeps talking about how indispensable Buxton is, Kepler has objectively been a more valuable player, and yet we don't cry as much when we talk about trading him, which is where I get hung up on. I know why, because Kepler doesn't have the upside of Buxton, but on the field performance, they're at the very least even.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're saying. I also, like you said, the upside, maybe you get just carried away by what you see, because I've never seen, like, I would say Joe Mauer's the one that I've seen in my lifetime, a dude who gives you chills playing for your team. And Byron Buxton just gives me the chills when I watch him play baseball and watch him make plays and watch him hit now monstrous home runs. And just every time he plays, it feels like he does something that helps you win that game. And he's missed too many of them. There's no question about it. But he's going to go into his age 28 season. You know, I think he, at least today, Matt, he's healthy. You know, he's healthy today. It's not like he's had like two knee surgeries, you know, where you feel like really nervous about something for next year. For that, I just think he's the type of player, a homegrown player that you've watched grow into, I'm sorry, a true star when he's on the field. I don't want that to be someone you let go just for the sake of mixing it up. And it's not for the sake. I know what you're saying. Someone like Story's more reliable. Someone like Correa is even more reliable, who's had a lot of injuries. But Byron Buxton to me is a Minnesota Twin. And Byron Buxton's a guy that I want to bet on. And maybe, you know, you're never going to come around to that idea. And I understand.
This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Twins once a week. Yes, you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Green Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. Go download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. I know you'll find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues. Can't wait to join you all on the app. I'll be sure to let you know once the Locked On Twins room is live. Download the Green Room app today. That's Green Room, changing the way we talk sports.
But for me, it's just like seeing him in a Twins jersey doing it with the career and the adversity that he's had makes me excited to watch the Twins. And if you have a player like that, it's not my money. You know, it's not my decision. That's a player who I invest in. And I think it's a difficult thing. Like, I think I understand both sides of it. It's just, that's the type of player that I want to invest in. What would be your response to that?
I mean, you're absolutely correct. There's a lot of sentimental value in that, especially from a franchise who historically, let's be honest, they have not had a good track record with keeping their own star players.
Yep.
You can ask anyone that. They know that. And the optics of it aren't great at all. It's from and I want to be very clear. I'm not saying this because I'm like some weird heartless bastard. I'm saying this because I truly and honestly do believe that for the to build the best team going forward, to build the most durable team, to build a team that can most consistently reach the playoffs and maybe go above and beyond, I truly fundamentally see Byron Buxton not being a part of that team. Not just because of the health, It's because after next year, you are going to have to make that commitment. We can no longer play games with this anymore. We can no longer, you know, okay, he got injured. We'll see what next year happens. No, after next year, a decision is going to have to be made. All right. We're going to have to sit down and we're going to have to say, do we want to give? It's not going to be $18 million. I'm telling you, I think $18 million is on the pessimistic side of things. If all the contracts we've seen thrown out are accurate, he's probably looking for more like 20, 21, 22 million a year.
Yeah.
Can you give that over, let's make up a number, 6 years? Can you guarantee that? Can you absolutely guarantee that to a guy who has one season over 100 games played? Can you do that? And can you do that with all your heart and all your mind? And can you fully believe you are doing the correct thing?
It's, yeah, I mean, I know the optics of it just in terms of you look at that. I'm looking at his Baseball Reference page, the games played. It's insane. Like it's really insane. But Matt, to me, I sense from you that there's a little bit of doubt in who he is on the field, because I think maybe I see more when I look at the numbers, when I watch, maybe I see more value when he's on the field, because to me, you think equally another player could be equal when they're on the field, or are you saying it's just not worth it? It's not worth that risk. Or do you think that he's not as good as he's been over the last 158 games?
It's not, I think he has been just that good. I mean, I've seen it, I've watched it. I've been impressed. I have literally sat there laughing for like a full minute at times watching him play, because it is just so absurd. It has happened on multiple occasions. You know, I don't have a Bible around, but I put my hand on that Bible and I'd swear to it. It's true. Where I get stuck, and I'm glad you're bringing this up, because I want to be real precise with what I'm saying and what I mean when I say this. You know, from looking at it from a roster building standpoint, you want to build a whole roster, you want to build a whole team of guys you can rely on, and guys who are, well, obviously good at baseball, all right?
Yeah.
when you employ Byron Buxton, you don't just have to have a starting three. You have to have a starting four. You have to have a starting five. You have to have more quality outfielders to back him up, because you know in your heart of hearts, even in a season that's better than most, he is going to miss time.
Yeah.
That has to be a fact. That has to be established as a fact, because this is where the entire basis of what I'm talking about comes from. If anyone can come to me and prove to me that there's another player out there historically in baseball who has had the kind of injury problems and has turned it around, I can change my tune. I just have not found that player. Because even the guys that we think of injured, they've had more healthy seasons. There's simply no comp for Buxton. So when I say this, I say you need four or five guys, and that hamstrings you. We're talking about 26 men on the roster. That's not a whole lot of guys. So that hamstrings you. You're going to be talking about the money. $20 million. $20 million is a lot of money. I know it's not our money, and yeah. I know to a lot of other franchises, $20 million is whatever. I think the Dodgers just spent $20 million as I was speaking, all right? That happens. For the Twins, we cannot afford that same luxury, all right? We're talking about unloading Josh Donaldson's contract. We just signed the guy not even 2 years ago, all right? That's a different thing in of itself. But that shows you where we're at. When we do sign that guy and we shoot for that guy, when we make our shot, we have to actually be correct. We have to be right on the mark, and we cannot miss this opportunity, or else it's simply just going to hamstring us too much from a roster building standpoint, from putting guys on the field and being able to pay quality players. That's where I'm coming from. So I say you take a guy who's obviously not as talented, but you know solidly, and you can say he will perform, and I don't have to sign another guy to back him up for 60, 70, 80 games or whatever he's going to miss. And I know that I can safely invest that money, and I'm not going to be at night checking, there's another million that's wasted on the IL. There's another $2 million that's wasted on the IL. There's another $3 million. We could have just bought ourselves a nice reliever. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. I want to know if this, and this is wildly optimistic, but if this changes your tune, and this is how we'll close the Buxton discussion, I'd mention it a little bit, but let's say you're looking at 2023, which is Buxton's age 29 season, 2023, when we're both expecting, you and I expect 2023 to be another, at least a guaranteed to me, year in which they should be looked at as competitive. That would be my thought, would be 2023. And we'll see this offseason. 2022 could be a wild card year, not the wild card game, but just a wild card year and what they get. But to me, they should be shooting for 2023. And at that time, let's say it's Jose Miranda at third base. Let's say they've unloaded the Donaldson contract in some way, right? Let's say in some way they've unloaded Donaldson's contract. And I don't know if that's the best thing for 22, maybe by 23, that's the best thing. And they've done that in some regard, even if it's half, he's making a lot. They're paying him $11 million bucks in 2023. Let's say Jose Miranda's at third. You know, I don't know who would be at short at that point, but second would be Polanco. Kirilov's at first. You got Larnick in the outfield. You have Bucks in the outfield on an extension. Kepler's still here at $8.5 million in the outfield. Let's say it's Joe Ryan, Bailey Ober in the rotation. At that point, Jordan Balzavec has become an ace, Matt. He is the ace of aces, making $650,000 in pre-arbitration. You have a very cheap roster in my eyes. That's a very, very cheap roster. They have $45 million committed to 2023, and they're going to need to fill a bunch of holes at that point. Rogers will be gone. You know, Duffy will be gone. Garver will be in his third year of arbitration if he's still here. But they'll have Jeffers too, I believe, will be still making the league minimum. So it's going to be, at least in my eyes, a very cheap roster as you look at it. Even then, you're saying, do you not have as much belief that they'll be able to fill all those holes? Even then, you still wouldn't take that chance. You still wouldn't do it with Byron Buxton. If I told you that team's going to be very cheap and it's going to be a good framework of a team, he's still not a guy you're investing in.
You know, I'll be honest, you just put that in such an interesting perspective that I'm actually rethinking this entire I don't even think I can actually answer that question right now, because that's a real interesting way you've spun that. Yeah. I'll be honest.
Just from a pure payroll perspective, looking at what they're going to be spending on the roster, and that's so optimistic to think, "Oh, Jose Miranda is going to step in and be their third baseman. Oh, you know, they'll have Austin Martin step in and be their center fielder or their right fielder or whatever, or their second baseman or their shortstop." It's optimistic to think that way. But if that's the case, I think of it differently, at least personally, because they've built a little bit of prospect depth and you feel like they'll have a cheaper roster moving forward. So that changes my thinking. If I had a White Sox roster that has all these extensions already that are going to build up, and we're just using the White Sox as an example again, that are going to build up, you know, Robert and Anderson, all these guys are going to be making their most money in a couple of years, and you had all that money committed already, I would think differently about an extension for a guy who's hurt so much. But I think of it differently in that way. So you would consider that at least. I know that's so far in the future. Look how things have changed.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar has 12 original flavors, but they've added 6 new flavors as well. And these improved Built Bars are even deliciouser. Plus, Built Bars are healthy. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, full of protein, full of fiber, and great for a keto diet. And the peanut butter bar, only 5 grams of net carbs for a type 1 diabetic like me, that is huge. Plus, right now, Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch, so listen closely. You get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you also get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. My favorite flavors include the coconut almond, the peanut butter, the banana bread. Use promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of that clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. That's DirecTV.com.
But that's something that I've considered. You know, that's something that I've looked at and thought about for sure. Because I do think they're going to have a cheap roster.
I think you are correct. I'll say, I was going to say the biggest knock against what you just said is the wild optimism that is these prospects stepping up and performing, because we know historically that's not always the case.
Yeah.
So
historically, it's not the case.
Yeah, but most of the time it's not actually. We even saw it. I mean, with Larnick, we were so optimistic about the guy, and now he's down in AAA.
Yeah.
Long term, I believe in him, but of course, you know, short term, these guys take their knocks.
Yeah.
So I think I would say then, I still believe in what I said, because I have to believe in what I said, because that was like 20 minutes of me saying that. But if this does change, if 2022, I'll say this, if 2022 then is the sort of season, like I said, where we're seeing what guys can do, and that is, there's Miranda. Okay, yeah. Austin Martin's doing well. Maybe he develops a little bit of pop. Royce Lewis is on the field. He's showing a little bit of an ability to play short. Belizovic's here. You know, these guys are up here, and they're not even, let's say they're not even killing it. They're just showing enough.
Mm-hmm.
That would make me strongly reconsider my position. I don't know if I could say one way or the other, but if you want, you could convince me, and I think you did just convince me to hold off on that. Let's trade Buxton now. Let's wait and see. Let's take that risk of maybe we could have traded him in this offseason, and we could have, you know, gotten more value than if, let's say he doesn't sign an extension and he walks. Because that's the other big big if in this. Well, can you even sign him an extension?
Because
he seems pretty peeved at what we've done to him, understandably. Yeah. So even not considering that, even if you say, okay, let's say he does say yes, and let's say we can make up a fun number of $22 million, and we can extend him, and we have that opportunity to, and I have the chance to say yes or no, that would be a more interesting scenario. I would have to see. You have intrigued me with that, Nash. You have intrigued me very much.
Well, here's the thing. You can't assume that they're going to be even competitive after 2022 with him in free agency, right? I mean, I have to, if they had, so what you're saying is if they had to make that decision today or right after this season, it's a no. And I think they do. I think they have to make that call now. Like they're going to have maybe one more chance to make him a competitive extension offer. Cause at that point, why wouldn't he just go into free agency? And I think we just assume they're not going to win a bidding war, you know? So that's, I think of it differently that way, because it feels like they have a little bit of an inside edge. Maybe it's not as much as we would like, cause they jerked him around for service time before. And because previous extension talks have broken down a little bit, it feels like they have an inside track to doing it this off season way more so than they would when he's a free agent after next year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think the only thing I would say is you say there's going to be a bidding war for him. Again, he is like the most unprecedented player.
He is.
Of all time. I think we even saw.
And of course, he's a twin.
Yeah, no, naturally, yeah. God, why can't we have just like normal players that are good and just like unquestionably good? My God.
Yeah.
But I think we even saw this at the trade deadline where teams were just sort of like, yeah, we're interested, but where do you even begin to value him? How do you even comprehend that? It seems like that's what Philadelphia got hung up on. They're just like, we don't know. They also didn't have much to offer, but you're really putting your faith in something that's not a guarantee, and teams don't like paying a lot of money for something that's not a guarantee. So I don't know. Yeah, you do bring up a good point. That is, you run that risk of then everyone says the Yankees. Maybe it is the Yankees come in and they offer, you know, whatever. Maybe they do. Maybe it's the Dodgers. Maybe it's one of those teams. I don't know. I think that's just kind of you have to take that risk. That's the risk you take. Yeah, I would take it.
You bite the bullet on that. I'll say one more thing too. We could go on all night about Buck and just everything Twins, of course. But I'll say on him too. Let's say he plays 140 next year, and it seems like it's just crazy. But let's say he plays 140 and he plays to the level that we know he can play at. I mean, in my mind, that lifts the Twins so much next year. And if the playoffs are expanded, I think you're right, not one player can carry a team. I think they'll pitch better early on next year. If he plays 140, man, I think this team has a chance to be good. Like, I think this team has a chance to at least be on the fringes, you know, and it's at least a competitive year maybe where they're around 500, because I think he does bring that much value to them. And then you say, okay, we lost him in free agency, had a great final year in 2022, and it's going to hurt. But I do think that if he played a full season, you know for sure if he plays a full season, you're going to lose him, right? Because he's going to get paid, and it's probably not going to be by the Twins. But that's it's like, yeah, like you're saying, why wouldn't you see in 2022? But you're also saying like you're going to get the most value for him now. I think this might be their most difficult decision they've had. I think this is a really difficult thing for them to do. I think it might be franchise altering. That might be dramatic, but it might be franchise altering the decision that they make and how they're viewed. The Twins front office is viewed from the fan base and from an outside perspective. Do you think it carries that much weight?
I think you hit the nail on the head, man. I've read I read a lot of history. I've read like war decisions that were easier than this. I mean, we're truly working with, like you said, I think you're absolutely correct. This is franchise altering in a lot of ways, not just the performance or maybe the performance you miss out on, but then, like you said, how other teams see you, how other, even your own players see you. Wow. You just gave up on him.
Yeah.
You know, it is no easy decision. These guys have it cut out for them. We could literally go all night talking about
this. I'm glad they're up there, Matt. I mean, we would do an amazing job, you and me, as the next Derek Falvey. I know how to work a spreadsheet.
and I'm really good at reading. So, I mean, there we go.
And you
there
can read, and I'll just be on the spreadsheet, and you tell me what to type about these contract numbers, and we'll be able to crunch it. You know, we'll be able to figure it out in that way. But
dude, we're the next Moneyball, baby.
Yeah, I think they're going to be calling after this podcast episode. But Maddie, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. We're going to come. I mean, this is going to be, it's been a terrible year, but I think it sets up for a very interesting offseason, more so than last year in my mind. Last year's offseason after the shortened season just sucked. I hope this is more interesting. I'm optimistic that this offseason is going to be super interesting for the Twins with the money that they have to spend, with the roster construction, with potentially trading Byron Buxton and Josh Donaldson. I think it's going to be super fascinating. Do you promise you'll come back on?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. You know I would, brother. I wouldn't. Are you kidding me?
All right, sweet. Yeah. We'll reconnect. And then where can people follow you on Twitter? As always, you know, see some nice John Mayer and other things, but Twins as well.
Oh, yeah. My Twitter, Matthew B. Twins. I usually post about Twins. Sometimes I post guitar stuff. Actually, I don't think I've posted a guitar thing in a while. Should really get on that. Those are my main two hobbies. Sometimes it's books also. You can catch me on Twins Daily. I do the Saturday minor league report, and then Nash has me on Sunday, so we're the back-to-back double duo. Occasionally, I post some other articles. I probably won't be because my classes are going to start soon, and I know that's going to be hell. But I'll at the very least have the Saturday minor league report. You guys can count on that.
Where are you at now, Matt, in school?
Where I'm at? I'm a senior. I'm about to be out of here, man.
Senior at, where is it again?
I'm at Western Washington University. It's
gotcha. Okay.
It's imagine, so you get on I-5 in Seattle and you go north. Once you hit Canada, you've gone too far, but not actually that far.
Not that far. What's your major again? Are you U.S. history? Or?
Yeah, I'm a history social studies.
Okay. So what are you thinking?
I'm going to be a teacher.
Nice.
Actually, I've had this idea. I'm going to be a teacher, but I might parlay it into just becoming a historian simply because I love the idea of being referred to as a historian.
Historian Matt Brown. What do you think for like high school, college, professor, or what?
I don't know, man. I'm thinking high school, but I'm leaving the door open. You know, I don't really want to close any options.
Sweet. Enjoy it. Senior year. We're here. Seniors in college talking Twins. Truly pitiful club in 2020, 2021, but hopefully brighter days ahead. Thanks everyone for listening. Really appreciate it. And Matt will be back on soon, of course, because they're just too good. I just can't stop. Matty, thanks again, brother.
I mean, we went for an hour. That's how it goes. See you, my guy.
It'll be cut up. I'll cut it up a little bit and we'll release it in short spurts.
All right. Sounds good.
See you, buddy.